During the era of muscle cars, souped-up engines, and great American road trips, Die Hard was born. And for 50 high-performance years, they haven't stopped charging ahead. Die Hard is honoring the spirit of those who have a passion for the road and what they drive by partnering with Sears Auto Center to give you exciting offers to help you get to your next adventure. Right now, buy 3 Die Hard tires and get one free with installation at a Sears Auto Center near you. Visit SearsAuto.com to find a location. 50 powerful years. Forever Die Hard.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 12 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz, and this time it's not just Locked On Thunder. Locked On Thunder meets Locked On Bulls. I'm here at Summer League with host of the Locked On Bulls podcast from Bleacher Report and NBC Sports, Sean Hyken.
World exclusive.
It's a big deal. We're currently in, is it a corridor or a hallway?
It's like a back hallway behind the media room in the Thomas and Mack Center.
It's actually behind the media room that's behind the media room.
Yeah, there was like a banquet room or something that's like there was like some cater. I don't know. We found a quiet place to do it. It was a journey.
Quiet for now.
We'll see.
Until the door opens and you hear that buzzer sound that everyone likes so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if the door, like it's like a setup where the door opens over there, and there's like some arena noise that comes in. So
people are coming through right now.
It comes in. Yeah, exactly.
Well, today. Oh, and now we got the announcer. We got some great Nat sound for this one.
Anyways. Absolutely.
So we're here at Summer League right now. We're in Vegas. Sean and I. Sean, how many days have you been here now?
I have been here since Thursday night. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm flying out tomorrow. And then I'm coming back here in a week for Team USA training camp.
So you're doing a lot of time in Vegas. I got in Sunday,
uh-huh,
and I'm getting back on Friday to Oklahoma City. What's the best? You've been here a few more days. What's the best Summer League jersey you've seen so far?
There's been a whole lot of them. There was one where it was, so the Shannon Brown Lakers one that I just saw was pretty great. That was one. I saw a Ray McCallum Kings jersey yesterday.
Former Summer League MVP?
Former Summer League MVP.
Was he championship game MVP?
He might have been. See, I wasn't. I never have stayed at Summer League long enough
to
actually.
The Summer League diehards.
Yeah, I'll have to ask. I think like Golliver stays out here the whole time or somebody like that, or you know, Bontemps. There are some people who are lifers in the way that you and I are not.
I actually normally stay out the whole time.
How?
This time I'm not out here the whole time. Normally I stay out the whole time. The last, like, 2 or 3 years, I've stayed out the whole time. Because when I was freelancing, that's when you pick out the best freelance work. You pick up the best freelance work, and that's how you do it. You get it late, but no one else is there. Everybody's gone. We're joined by two gentlemen walking through and being loud again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's actually talk some basketball.
Yes.
Sean, let's do Bulls first. Why not?
Absolutely.
Bulls have made kind of a splash.
They're the favorites to win the Eastern Conference in the 2011 playoffs right now, I feel like. Them or the Knicks.
Well, yeah, you know what's funny is that the people joke that the Knicks signed the whole Bulls team, and now the Knicks are going to be really good in 2011, and then the Bulls kind of went back and got guys who brought us back to 2011 anyway.
The Knicks signed the whole Bulls team, and the Bulls signed the 2011 Eastern Conference All-Star backcourt, pretty much.
Something that I need to know. So... Their backcourt right now is a three-man backcourt of Rondo, Butler, Wade. The grumblings were that Butler, whether personality fit or not, that on the court the fit did not work with Derrick Rose because Butler wants the ball, Rose wants the ball, and the fit didn't really work. And that was what we saw on the court, and that was what we saw with their offense, especially considering neither of them is a particularly consistent shooter. Butler can make threes, but he's inconsistent. Even year to year, he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
I don't see how their setup right now is any different for Jimmy Butler.
It's not, except that the only difference is that now, instead of having one guy that he doesn't mesh with that's going to need the ball a lot and has a big personality, it's going to be two. And the thing that's going to really make it interesting is Derrick Rose, for all the, you know, them not being able to play together, it was never a personality thing between the two of them. The idea that they didn't get along was pretty overblown, and Derrick is the most laid-back guy who kind of just gets along with everybody. Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade are not that kind of personality. They're a lot stronger, and they've also never not been the guy wherever they've been. At least Dwayne Wade hasn't. Rondo has maybe taken a backseat the last couple of years as he's kind of fallen out of favor in terms of, you know, his standing in the league. But Wade has been the guy in Miami for 13 years, and it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for him.
So you've covered the Bulls now. This will be your second full year covering the Bulls, right?
This was my third year in Chicago, second year on the beat.
Okay. So at the very least, you've been there for the whole Fred Hoiberg era.
I have.
How is Fred Hoiberg going to attack this? Because they brought, I don't even mean from personality standpoint. Like Fred Hoiberg came to Chicago and the whole sell was they were going to pace in space. And that was Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State, right? That's what he was going to do. He was spacing the floor. He was having guys at Iowa State stand behind the 3-point line in a way that other college coaches didn't do. They were standing 3 feet, 4 feet behind the 3-point line because he realized that if shooting threes is not just about the act of shooting threes, it's about the act of spacing. And if you make guys guard out to 24 feet and say just 20 feet like they do in college, all of a sudden your spacing is going to be better. And he was finding fun ways to manipulate the court like that, manipulate an offense. And Iowa State was kind of running NBA style offense in the Big 12. And the Bulls last year, you know, they didn't really have the roster for Fred Hoiberg. So maybe you can use that as a way to defend him. But now, even if he struggled, but now they're kind of giving him another roster, which doesn't really fit what they were saying they wanted to fit Hoiberg into, right?
What's really interesting is that if you strip out the Rondo and Wade signings, this roster suddenly makes a lot more sense for what Fred's doing. If you look at what their second unit is probably going to be, you've got Jerian Grant, who's a young point guard who can run. You've got Denzel Valentine, who's versatile, who can play multiple positions, he's a good shooter, who they just drafted number 14 overall. You got, you know, Doug McDermott is in there, Nico Mirotic is in there, those guys can both shoot. Bobby Portis is pretty versatile, he's going to get some minutes, he's going to be in there. And then that kid Cristiano Felicio, who is going to go into his second year, the Brazilian big man, he's going to get some minutes. So their second unit is really interesting and actually kind of an ideal fit for what Hoiberg wants to do. It's just that in their starting lineup, you've got Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler, and Dwayne Wade all trying to share the ball, and none of them can shoot. So it's kind of – that's even beyond the personality stuff, which I have my own questions about whether Fred Hoiberg is going to be able to manage the personalities of those three guys, the three alphas, as Rajon Rondo called them at his press conference. It's going to be an interesting dynamic to balance, you know, the parts of the roster that do fit with what Hoiberg wants to do offensively and the parts that don't, when the parts that don't are so much more dominant personalities.
Well, you got two-thirds of that big alpha. You got the Marquette guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's any sort of connection there. Is there a connection there between Wade and Butler just from Marquette?
I've heard conflicting things. I've heard some reports. I've heard some people say that Wade has been a huge mentor to Butler. And then I've heard some rumblings that they don't like each other. That's gonna be an interesting level to this.
That sounds like the way the internet works.
Pretty much, yeah. You hear conflicting things, and you can believe what you want to believe.
You can find.
I think if it was really that much of a thing, Wade wouldn't have signed there. But I'm not sure. That's gonna be part of what's gonna have it play out. Those two playing together, and then also the Rondo Hoiberg dynamic, because some of the stuff that Rondo has already said. One thing that he said at his introductory press conference on Thursday, which I was at before I flew to Vegas, was that he's going to work well with Hoiberg because Hoiberg is not a dominant personality and he likes it when players give input. And that just translates to me as though Rondo is just going to walk all over him.
So which projected starting lineup, if the season starts right now, which projected starting lineup has a better shooting starting five, the Bulls or the Thunders?
And so the Thunder's starting five at this point is going to be Russ, Oladipo,
Robertson,
probably
Ilyasova, and
either Adams or Kanter. They'd start Adams, right?
It's Adams, 100%.
Well, Ilyasova is the only one of those guys that's really a
major threat. The reason you have to start Ilyasova over Kanter, if the roster stays as is, in my opinion, the reason you have to start Ilyasova over Kanter is because even if you think Kanter's a better player than Ilyasova, which I think is a totally defensible opinion, you have to start Ilyasova because if you're starting Kanter, you are starting five guys who are below average shooters at their positions.
Well, the Bulls have kind of the same thing going on because in terms of, you know, who's the best player and in terms of seniority, the Bulls, if four of their five starters are Rondo, Wade, Butler, and then Robin Lopez at center, in terms of just who's the best player on the roster that they could start at power forward, the answer would be Taj Gibson. But I feel like you have to start Mirotić just because you have to have one guy who's a threat to shoot from the outside. And so it's kind of the same dynamic going on. I don't know.
It's like Rob Hennigan has taken over the teams we cover.
Yeah, like, it really is exactly like that because they also have the same thing going on. They have guys that can't really shoot from the outside, but
what the Magic have always done is the Magic, the last, like, 2 or 3 years have put together a team where their guards and their wings don't really shoot, and their bigs are the best shooters, like the Channing Frye. And they went out and got Channing Frye, and Vucevic is a really good shooter out to, like, basically like 22 feet and 8 inches. Like he's a really, really good shooter from that area, and they had to get Channing Frye because they didn't have shooters on their wings. And the Thunder have a similar issue with that right now. You know, they went out and got Ibaka because Ibaka is a good shooter. And the
you
Thunder
mean Ilyasova? Or the Magic?
The Magic I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
But now, you know, the Thunder, all of a sudden, I mean, the Thunder were an average three-point shooting team on the aggregate last year. They were, I think, 17th in three-point percentage and, like, 16th or 17th in three-point attempts. They were an average three-point shooting team last year by all accounts. And this year, I don't know what it's going to be. It's not even just about the shooting either. Like, especially with both the Thunder and the Bulls, it's not as much about the shooting. It's about the spacing that comes with the shooting. Like, you don't need to be a good three-point shooting team if you've got guys who can score at the rim, but you need to be able to space the floor so your guys can get to the rim. And someone like Russell Westbrook, someone like Victor Oladipo, like, those guys need driving lanes.
Right, and the Bulls have a few of those guys, too. Dwayne Wade, that's obviously his game. He's been able to stay elite this long without ever developing a three-point shot, and it's because he can still get to the basket. And Jimmy Butler is also kind of a mid-range slash get to the basket slash to the hoop, you know, draw fouls kind of guy, too. Rondo, when he decides to, he actually wants to go for his own offense, which is few and far between. You know, that's kind of his game, too. But, yeah, the Bulls really don't have that many guys on the roster who are real threats to shoot from the outside. You've got Mirotić, who at least, you know, he has that reputation of a big man who can shoot, even though he's pretty streaky in practice.
Spacing's only about reputation.
No, absolutely. And then Doug McDermott is another guy who I think is going to get some minutes at the 3 and the 4 if they want to play some smaller lineups. And he is one of the best shooters in the league. That's literally his only NBA-level skill at this point, but that's neither here nor there. He can shoot. And then, you know, Denzel Valentine, I think he shot about 44% from three in college, and I know the college three is different from the NBA three, but he's a guy who comes in, you know, bringing that skill set theoretically. So they only have a few guys on the roster. You look at the rest of it, it's, you know, Taj Gibson is not an outside shooter. Robin Lopez is not an outside shooter. Out of the guys that are going to get minutes, Jerian Grant is pretty inconsistent on that end. And then obviously the hashtag three alphas are not outside shooters either. When Rondo had the best 3-point percentage last year, we had 36% out of those three, and even that 36% was a huge outlier in terms of his career 3-point shooting.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder if these teams are done, if there's just a shooter or two that they're going to bring in to try to complement, because they're both teams with playoff aspirations. Like, even Kevin Durant leaving, their playoff aspirations.
Right.
The changes that the Bulls have made, obviously there are playoff aspirations. They signed Dwayne Wade.
If they both were intending to not make the playoffs, they would have traded Jimmy Butler for picks on draft night.
Right.
So,
and they wouldn't have signed a 34-year-old Dwayne Wade, and they wouldn't have signed not as good as he was 5 years ago, Rajon Rondo.
So I want to ask you, Fred, speaking of guys who, you know, whether they can or can't shoot from the outside, but they think they can, what's going to happen with Dion Waiters? Are the Thunder going to bring him back? Is he going to get an offer sheet from somebody? What are you hearing on that end?
You know, it's funny. You talk about Dion Waiters to people,
mm-hmm.
and their first reaction is always the same. It's immediately, oh yeah, Dion Waiters is still free agent, isn't he?
Because he was a guy that you kind of thought the first couple days of free agency, when all that money was flying around, that, you know, somebody was going to pay way too much money for him. And the Thunder, you know, just on the basis of just them doing the Ibaka trade and getting Victor Oladipo, Dion Waiters is not a necessity for them. If they hadn't done that trade, they probably would have had no choice but to match any offer sheet that Waiters got. But you know, once they got Oladipo, you know, the first couple days of free agency, we had heard that the Sixers and the Kings were interested in Waiters, and those teams both had a lot of money to throw around. And so if either of them had thrown like $15 or $16 million a year at him, the Thunder would have had the luxury of just being able to be like, okay, you guys go have fun with that. But right now, like, what's going to happen? There are not a lot of teams. Most of these teams have already spent their money on the big guys they're going to spend money on. So, is somebody going to throw an offer sheet? Like, the Nets just missed out on Allen Crabbe and Tyler right. Johnson. Are they going to throw a big offer sheet at him and try to get the Thunder not to match? Or from an entertainment standpoint, this is what I hope happens. Are we going to get qualifying offer Dion Waiters next year on the Thunder?
Qualifying offer Dion Waiters is a possibility. I don't know. How many players have taken the qualifying offer? Greg Monroe took the qualifying offer.
Ben Gordon
took the qualifying offer, and that's it, right?
as far as guys who like matter, as far as guys who would actually
rotation
get,
players,
guys who would get big free agents. Because I mean, those two guys when they took the qualifying offer, Ben Monroe took the qualifying offer in Chicago, and then he signed that big contract in Detroit the next offseason in 2009.
No.
Did I say Greg Monroe? No, I meant Ben Gordon.
Oh, Ben Gordon.
Ben Gordon. And then Greg Monroe took it in Detroit and signed the big deal in Milwaukee last summer.
Right.
So, you know, those guys are guys, you know, had been getting buzz before they signed the qualifying offers of guys that might get paid. Deion Waiters, as much as he's been, you know, unbelievably inconsistent throughout his career, he still has that, you know, reputation as he's a guy who can get hot. And he was pretty solid in the playoffs. So I had kind of thought that some team was going to take a flyer on overpaying him. I figure if Evan Turner got $18 million a year, somebody could talk themselves into Deion Waiters.
I still think a team is going to have some amount of interest in Deion Waiters. I think there are a couple of reasons I think that. Number one, my very proud, insanely random pre-free agency prediction that I made at the end of June.
You always have to trumpet your own predictions because people are only going to bring up the ones you get wrong. This one is a fire prediction.
And I'm wrong all the time, but my insanely random one was that Deion Waiters would be the last restricted free agent to sign. Restricted free agent of any sort of importance.
Whoa, hey, Mo Harkless is still out there, too.
Mo Harkless is still out there. Plumlee's still out there. Zeller's still out there.
Did they not withdraw the qualifying offer for Zeller?
Oh, maybe they did.
Because I know that because when Jared Sollinger signed with the Raptors this morning on a one-year deal, and they had rescinded, the Celtics had rescinded the qualifying offer because they needed to get that number off their books in order to get the Al Horford deal done. I don't know if Zeller was part of that also, but if Tyler Zeller is out there to be gotten, somebody should go get him.
Yeah. Tyler Zeller is
he's a rotation big man.
He's a rotation big man for sure. I didn't see that they rescinded a qualifying offer on him, just on Sollinger.
I all I know is they did it for Sollinger. I don't know if
right.
they did it for
they
anybody
did it for
else.
Sollinger for certain. Either way, my prediction was Deion Waiters. I finally might actually get something right. I've gotten so many things wrong.
You're not the only person who got one particular thing wrong this summer. I don't think anybody really thought that Durant was going to leave. But
anyway, it made sense to me, and the reason was because I think Deion appealed to me as somebody who would set his market a little bit higher than what it was. I also thought that Rob Pelinka was the type of agent who might be willing to wait out the summer. I think we've seen a good amount of teams wait out the summer. You know, Portland in some ways got antsy by giving money to Evan Turner. I think if they waited out that, they may not have to. But at the same time, there are still a bunch of big men who are available who you can get on decent contracts. You know, Toronto waited it out and got Jared Sollinger. Getting back to Portland, Portland waited out the summer in a sense and got Azili on 2 years.
And they got a pretty decent extension done with Myers Leonard as well.
Right.
I thought that's a guy that I thought was going to get a lot more than he got.
And that was after Myers Leonard, I believe, turned down, what, $11 million a year in an extension?
He got essentially the same deal that he turned down last summer, or last fall. He got that now.
Right. And he got 4 for $41 million this time.
Something like that.
Right. But with Waiters, I think, is playing a strategy, and Rob Pelinka, his agent, I think, is playing a strategy as well, in which he's waiting out the teams. I think someone is going to come at him with an actual offer, and I think he's going to actually make money. Look, I mean, we've seen restricted free agents go way later than Deion Waiters. Like, Pekovic went into August. Tristan Thompson went into September.
Well, the Tristan Thompson thing was such a special case because there was the LeBron and Rich Paul dynamic at play there, and he was holding out. Like that was its own case.
Fair enough. But Eric Bledsoe, also a Rich Paul guy.
Yeah.
Eric Bledsoe went into August also. Pekovic went into August. I mean, Cantor last year went to about this time anyway. I don't think he signed his offer sheet until the 12th or 13th of July.
Yeah.
Granted, later moratorium date. But you could still be negotiating and fielding offers and that kind of stuff.
Well, even the Greg Monroe one, I think he waited until August of that year to do the qualifying offer.
Yeah, for sure. He waited super late also. That was the same year as Bledsoe. So we've seen restricted guys go really late into the summer. There's always one or two of those guys in this current NBA environment. And I think Waiters isn't even at this point yet. I mean, we're recording this on July 11th. I don't think Waiters is necessarily even at that point yet. So I'm not worried about him getting a particular offer. I don't think he's the type who would sign the qualifying offer either. I think he's going to get money. And I think there's got to be some amount of interest from the Thunder, because I imagine even though he's somewhat of an asset, because he's 24 years old and he plays two ways, and there aren't a lot of wings who are 24 years old who you can definitively say is an above average defensive player and a skilled offensive player. you know, I don't think there are that many guys you can throw under that label. And the Thunder haven't renounced his – they haven't renounced them.
They haven't pulled the qualifying offer yet, right. So they can still match on anything. I feel like
– there's got to be some amount of interest from their end, though, because of that.
Right. And so if they don't re-sign him – because it could just be, you know, they get – you know, they wait it out. He doesn't have a market, and they just say, okay, we'll give you $10 million a year. Like some number that both sides can live with like that. But – out of the other teams, let's say another team wanted to throw an offer sheet at him. You'd heard him kind of linked to Miami in the past, but now their cap space is all gone with some of the deals they did yesterday and matching that offer sheet that Brooklyn threw at Tyler Johnson. Brooklyn is the only one that I feel like is a real threat to sign him to an offer sheet, because the way that they've handled free agency this summer, since they know Sean Marks, their new GM, knows that they have no draft picks basically going forward, and so they have to, you know, look to either the international market or the restricted free agency market. They, you know, signed Jeremy Lin to a pretty good value contract, but then they've also, you know, threw a big offer sheet at Tyler Johnson, who we just talked about. They threw a big offer sheet at Alan Crabb, which Portland matched. And so, I feel like they still have money to burn. They still need to fill out that roster spot somehow. I think we're going to see them maybe, if they decide they need another wing, throw another offer sheet at Dion Waiters and just try to hope that this time the Thunder don't match.
I think Brooklyn is the one that makes sense.
Yeah,
Brooklyn, it makes so much sense in terms of his timeline, too. I mean, Sean Marks is not just throwing money at restricted free agents. He's doing it at young guys who fit the timeline that he wants to fit. You know, there's no point in the Nets going out and trying to sign somebody old, because at the same time, I mean, look, they don't have an incentive to be bad.
Because they don't have any of their own picks.
Right. But what people don't talk about is they also don't have an incentive to try to be good, because they're not going to get to championship level. You still have to build from intelligent value points. So what Sean Marks is trying to do at this point is he's just trying to find value. And if he thinks he can manipulate a market that's late in its game when there aren't a lot of other bidders for someone like Dion Waiters, I think that's somewhere that he can do. He can try to find what he deems as value. That's basically what he's tried to do in these signings. I mean, Jeremy Lin is going to be value. Like, that contract next year, if he puts up a really good year starting at point guard.
And I think he will.
I think he will, too. I think he had a good year in Charlotte last year, and he's going to get playing time. He's going to get opportunity with the ball. I think he's going to be good. And he can be a really attractive option at $12 million a year with 2 years left on that deal. I mean, that's something that you can trade him, or maybe you can use as you bring in a couple of more assets moving forward into the next year. He's just basically trying to find value at this point. You know, the Trevor Booker deal. That's a value.
Yeah, I like that signing.
That's a value deal. Like, I'm
Justin Hamilton.
Also, value deal. 2 years, $6 million, right?
Yeah.
Value deal. Like, these are all value deals. Like, Sean Marks is going out and trying to find value deals. And I think if he thinks he can get away with a value deal on Dion Waiters and maybe get him $10 million a year.
12.
Right. Hope his coaching staff can turn Waiters into something. Then that's I think, a better option for Waiters than taking a qualifying offer and waiting for next year. And I think it's a better option for the Nets in getting a 24-year-old who they hope can turn into something down the line.
What is the number that Dion Waiters could get that you think the Thunder wouldn't match?
12.
So
it's
if he gets
the highest they'd go. That's my educated guess.
Okay, so if he got 12, 13, 14, they wouldn't match.
I don't think so. I don't think they'd match at 14. I also think it depends on years.
Right.
Well, you know
that any team that tries to go after him is going to try to give him as many years as possible just to make it. Because, I mean, you saw what the Nets did with the Tyler Johnson deal was they kind of did the Jeremy Lin, Omer Asik poison pill deal where, you know, the Heat matched that offer sheet. They're going to be paying him $20 million a year for the last 2 years of that deal. So they can't really do that with Dion because he is just a regular rookie scale restricted guy. He's not a second round pick or a Gilbert Arenas rule guy, but they are going to give him all those guaranteed years, do anything they can possibly do to make the Thunder think twice about matching it.
Right. And everyone's getting 4 years these days.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. Everyone's getting 4 years. Right
and Dion
now.
Waiters is not the worst person to give 4 years to, even though, you know, you can have questions about his inconsistency on the offensive end and, you know, maybe he shoots too much, but he's 24. He hasn't had any major injury concerns. I wouldn't necessarily do it if I was a GM, but you could do worse than giving him a four-year deal.
I think a big thing for Dion Waiters, just knowing him personally a little bit too, is going to be the type of environment he's in.
Yeah.
He's really, and I think this is true for a lot of NBA players, like how good they become, what they kind of turn into, so much of it has to do with where you end up and the people you end up around. I think Billy Donovan specifically and this coaching staff specifically was really, really good for him. And like Dion will tell you that. He's really quick
to say. Well, right, because the first couple years of his career, he was in Cleveland, but it was a Cleveland team where LeBron was gone and they had, you know, different coach. They had Byron Scott and then Mike Brown, and those guys aren't exactly the most friendly coaches for young guys who, you know, need some coaching, you know, really need to be told what to do. So like he was in kind of not a great situation. And then when LeBron got there, like, you know, Dion Waiters thinks he's the best player on the floor, and you can't really be doing that when they have LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love. So when he got to Oklahoma City and he kind of found his role as that sixth man, I think that's a good spot for him. But I also think the Nets, with what they have, you know, they're a young team at this point, and they're also, they're not a joke. Like, in the past few years, we've just kind of seen the Nets as kind of the Eastern Conference version of the Kings, where, like, whenever you think, oh, which team is going to throw a dumb offer at this guy, or which team is going to give up way too much to get somebody who's past his prime, you think, oh, Brooklyn Nets. But now that Billy King is not there, they brought in Sean Marks from the Spurs kind of tree of executives, and then they brought in Kenny Atkinson, an assistant coach from Atlanta, who's very well respected as a player development guy, and actually that's a big part of why Jeremy Lin ended up going there, because he was an assistant in New York during the, you know, the whole Linsanity era, so he wanted to play for him again. So I feel like that's the kind of coach that could be good for Dion also if he goes there.
Yeah, I mean, people speak really high of Atkinson. Like, everyone says like the nicest things about him as a coach, as a person.
Players like him. Players want to play for him.
Mm-hmm. It's but at the same time, I mean, I think that could absolutely happen in Brooklyn. At the same time, I mean, I think an awareness of what Waiters is from both sides has to happen in order for kind of Waiters integration to happen as well. I think that happened in Oklahoma City. I think it was a really big deal. I think Dion made a big effort to make it happen. I think Billy Donovan made a big effort to make it happen. I think the whole organization, honestly, made a big effort to make it happen. And I think teams and the Nets seem like they seem like they're completely different
organizations. I like every single move that they've made this summer.
Yeah, I mean, they seem like a very different organization. And just the you know, we talk about culture as a buzzword, and sometimes it's made up. But the Nets are different in the way that they're actually operating right now. The way that they are making decisions. And I covered the Nets until
you moved to Oklahoma City
4 months ago, yeah. I mean, the Nets are different in the way that they are operating now. The way they're – it's not the decisions they're making. It's the way they're going about their decision-making that's different right now. So I'm not saying that Waiters would be a bad fit. I'm just saying I think any team that signs him needs to realize that he's the type of player who I think the emotional fit has to be considered when you're actually signing a guy like that.
Right. Like, if he had gone to Sacramento, even though they have Dave Yeager there now as their coach, he's a respected guy and has worked well with kind of personalities, you know, like he was great with Lance Stephenson, he's been great with other guys. But if they had gone there, that organization is still such a mess, I don't think that would have been a good fit. But the Nets aren't like that anymore.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they are at all. I think that could be a big thing for Dion. But again, he said he wanted to come back multiple times after the season ended. He even said that he would have a problem coming off the bench for other teams, but he'd be happy to come off the bench with the Thunder. Now, he was really close with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, so maybe that changes things.
Maybe that changes because of his personal relationship with Durant, who he kind of like just followed around like he was his big brother.
I think that might be because that's the first guy that he's played with where he can, and I guess he played with LeBron for half a season in Cleveland, but that might be the first guy that he played with for an extended period of time where he was like, look, I'm not the best guy on the team. This is Kevin Durant, you know?
Right, but they were also like on a personal level. Like, Dion, if you go into practice, it was like Dion was like latched onto Kevin. Like, they were close, and they had a close, like, joking relationship, and Kevin liked him. And I don't know how much of that attitude and that desire to return had to do with wanting to be with Kevin. I don't know how much of it had to do with the fact that he was thinking, like, yeah, do you know what? I can win a title here. And now maybe that goes out the window. Right, that thinking has changed with Durant and Golden State. So I don't know if his opinions have changed, you know, in the last week or so, or if he still feels the same way, and if he's thinking, well, I had a great relationship with Billy Donovan and a great relationship with a bunch of other guys on the team, and it's a place that I want to be in, a place that I like to live, so I'll come back. Or if things change in that time period, but we're going to find out at some point soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the last domino that has to fall. We got, you know, the Kevin Durant mania was the first 4 days of free agency, and then the Dwayne Wade thing, which just came out of nowhere because nobody thought that he was going to leave Miami. The first, like, he just, like, the signing hasn't been made official yet, but he posted today on Snapchat some pictures of himself at the Bulls practice facility, and I think the plan is that they're going to sign the contract. He was there to take his physical, so they're going to sign him to his contract officially basically any day now. And then he has his tour of China that he's doing with his with Li Ning, his shoe endorsement. And then on the 29th of July or somewhere around there, they're going to do the press conference to actually introduce him with the Bulls. But seeing him on Snapchat today at the Bulls practice facility with the Bulls logo behind him, that was the first time it was like, wow, Dwayne Wade actually left Miami to go to the Bulls.
It's weird, right?
It is. It's just like, and on the same day that, you know, Tim Duncan retired, the NBA is going to be so different next year. No Kobe, no Duncan, Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, who have been just synonymous with the Bulls over the last 8 or 9 years, are going to be in New York now. And then Dwayne Wade, who is like the Heat equivalent of like a Kobe or Duncan or Dirk type of figure, who's only been associated with that franchise and won championships with that franchise, is going to be in Chicago now. And there's just a lot of
and
stuff.
And Kevin Durant's going to be
and Kevin Durant is on the Warriors, the team that won 73 games, just upgraded their starting small forward from Harrison Barnes to Kevin Durant. That's like, I'm still wrapping my head around it.
My listeners are so upset with your tone right now.
No, I'm coming at this totally objectively that, like as a basketball fan, that's just like, that is just going to be insane to watch. But yes, I mean, I thought that he was going to stay in Oklahoma City. I would have liked to see him and Russ run it back another year. I hope that the Thunder, just for the sake of that franchise doing well and for the sake of you, because you are my friend and I care about your job being enjoyable, I hope that they can keep Russ around long term and they don't have to trade him and just rebuild from scratch. And I hope Russ sticks around in Oklahoma City. So just to make your listeners hate me a little bit less, I just want to throw that out there.
That's fair. I think that's a good way to end it.
Yes.
Before we head out, remember you can head on to iTunes and subscribe Locked On Thunder or Locked On Bulls there.
Leave us all 5-star reviews. If you're going to leave anything besides a 5-star review, don't even leave a review.
There we go. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. If you have questions or comments, you can email lockedonthunder@gmail.com.
Lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Twitter @lockedonbulls. As well, you know, send us questions. If you have any advertising inquiries for us, you want to sponsor us, email either of our email addresses, give us some money,
yeah,
possibly.
Just send money. Just put money in envelopes and send it to my address.
I would never turn that down as either.
You can also find me on Twitter @FredKatz. Sean, you're just @Hyken.
@Hyken. And then you have @LockedOnBulls also. And you can follow my co-host for Locked On Bulls normally @CodyWesterland. He's not here right now. He is back in Chicago. So that's why we did this. And yeah, we will be back with you soon. This was good, Fred.
It was. And remember also, before we go, you can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog on there for all the team coverage and what's next for the Thunder.
And then, you know, I have Bulls stuff on Bleacher Report. I have general NBA stuff on NBC. We're both pretty easy to find on the internet.
We are very prominent on the internet. All right, so that's going to do it for today. Until next time, Locked On Thunder and Locked On Bulls are locking up.